Hello, welcome to Why Not Me? In life, we face many trials and obstacles, many challenges, and in the thick of it, we can be tempted to think, why me? But every obstacle presents an opportunity, and every trial can bring triumph. So I want to encourage you to adapt a mindset of, why not me? When in the middle of it, when things are tough, look around and think, why not me? It's happening for a purpose. And then, when success is at your doorstep, and all you have to do is open it, you may find yourself hesitating, questioning, is this for me? Do I deserve this? And I want to encourage you to adapt a mindset of, why not me? Throw the door open wide, shout to the world, why not me? Embrace your success. I'm your coach, Todd Halls. I'm grateful to have you on this journey. Welcome to Why Not Me?
Hello, hello. Welcome to Why Not Me? Turning trials into triumphs, seeking and embracing success. This is your host, Coach Todd Halls. As always, grateful to be here with you. And listeners, grateful for you being here. Thank you for tuning in. And grateful for our guest today. With us today, we have Logan Slagle. And Logan is a business owner and recently has been transitioned from sole proprietor to a new partnership and just expanding. He's got big things on the horizon. I can't wait for all of us to hear from and learn from Logan. Logan, welcome to Why Not Me?
Yeah, hey there, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. Hey, Logan, where are you located?
So I'm located in Castle Rock, Colorado.
Okay, and where? So I'm not super familiar with Colorado. Where's Castle Rock?
Todd?
Yes.
Sorry, I thought that it had dropped off. Yeah, I'm out here in Castle Rock, Colorado. I'm actually about to be moving closer to Denver, though. Gets me a little bit closer to the highways in Colorado, so that way we can continue to expand.
Well, fantastic. So you mentioned expanding, and when we were, you know, before we hit the record button, we were talking a little bit, and you've got you started your own company, Stick and Poke Fencing.
Yep.
When did you found that? When did that get started?
I registered the EIN in 2021.
Okay, so about 3 years, give or take, we're in year three for sure. Very cool.
Yes.
So congratulations. Most business owners that start never make it to year three. So you're way ahead of the curve, man.
Correct. 90% fail in the first 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. So Stick and Poke, how'd you come up with that for a name?
So number one, we take sticks and we poke them in the ground. We're a fencing company. But secondly, the guys I originally founded the company with, we all have tattoos. And so we thought that it was just a fun little name that we could play off of, especially in regards to, you know, us all having tattoos, appealing to a younger audience, definitely, as, you know, more people my age, I'm, you know, 28 going on 35, it feels like, are coming into the housing market and purchasing their first homes. And there's a lot of development in Colorado. So there's younger people buying homes that have nothing in their backyard. So a fence is a great start, and it's a great way to appeal to that audience with a, you know, we all grew up with memes. So we figured it would be a funny name that would grab attention. And I've honestly had people tell me they were going to hire me just for my name alone.
That's awesome. That means it's probably a pretty good name.
I did my best.
Yeah. What drove you? Why did you decide to go into business?
Well, so I worked in 2018 for a gentleman building fence, and he liked me and I liked the work. And eventually I went out solo working under him, of course. And, you know, the plan was to turn it over to me in the next 2 years because he was actually he was looking to get out. And I said, okay, because he had a full-time job traveling, selling cabinets. So it kind of started getting put onto me full-time. And then, unfortunately, I was young and dumb And I flubbed the opportunity, unfortunately. But I always said, you know, when I was stable and I had the opportunity, I was going to open my own fencing company because I enjoyed doing it so much, because there's nothing better than putting your hands on work and seeing it, you know, come to true fruition and fulfillment. Whereas, you know, with like a sales job or, working retail or customer service, you know, you have brief interactions that are there and gone. You know, it's like a shooting star. You're like, wow, I really hope I made that person's day or night, or they enjoyed that product. But, you know, then you get out there and build something that's supposed to last for 7 to 12 to even 25 years. And there's just a lot more fulfillment in that. So I knew that I wanted to get back to it eventually.
Cool. And then you mentioned that you had a co-founder or a partner when you started Stick and Poke. Are you still together?
No. It is just I am sole proprietor.
Okay. And I'm guessing, I don't know much about fencing. You must have a team that helps you out a little bit.
Correct. Yes. So I have two hands myself that I'm training to lead down the path of forming. And then I as well have two other smaller LLCs that I do subcontract work out to when we get into the busier periods of the year.
Nice. So there's really three of you on your team, but then you've got a network where you can get your work done while providing good work for other companies.
Correct. Exactly.
Very good. So how much fence do you guys put in a year?
Well, got to figure right now we're slamming about, geez, during slow season we're doing about 800 feet to 1200 feet, but then during busy season, I mean, it can get up to, holy cow, it can get up to, you know, 5,000-8,000 linear foot of fence, because we can erect 200 foot of linear fence, which is about the standard size fence on both sides, not including a back. Backs are usually 60 to 80 feet. And you figure we can knock one of those out in anywhere between 2 to 4 days, depending on the style of fence. So, I mean, we're probably cranking out, I'd say close to 85,000 linear feet a year.
That's a lot of fence, man. That's awesome.
It's a lot of wood. I can tell you that much. Okay. It's a lot of cedar.
And is it so? Do you just do wood fencing?
No. So we'll do this morning. Actually, I just contracted a horse fence. Not in the sense that it's the standard three rail split rail system, but that it's a T post with a cable and a hot wire on top. That then we're going to put galvanized mesh over to prevent the deer and rabbits from crawling underneath the bottom wire. So it's not always wood, but I would say that, you know, 85% of it through the year is all wood. But now that we're coming into, you know, more landscaping and hardscaping as well, I anticipate in this year, those numbers are going to change March through September, which is our busy season.
Sure. So when you mentioned landscaping and hardscaping, so, and we were talking earlier, you're starting to transition to expand your offering. Is that correct?
Yes, we are. We've segued into multiple avenues and even actually have some commercial contracts in the pipeline right now that we're trying to really dial in on and probably even set up a separate team to handle those accounts.
Okay. And so when you say commercial, are they, is it maintenance? Is it, I just had this for some reason popped in my head, like it's an ongoing relationship. So what's that? What's your vision for that?
Yeah. So it's all, there's a big contracting company that subcontracts out certain aspects of their work because they can't keep crews full time to do it. Not that it's intermittent, but that they just can't get people to stick around. And that's construction as a whole right now. You know, I've had guys quit at lunch on their first day. You know, I've had guys go to lunch and just never come back. And that happens, you know, when they realize how hard they need to work. Sometimes it just doesn't pan. So they're looking for reliable crews to come out and, you know, help them finish building brand new neighborhoods, like digging culverts, putting in drainage boxes, even interior cabinetry work, which I don't know if I'm going to take them up on that. But with my concrete background, I am interested in forming the cement boxes for the drainage for the collection pool. When it rains, all the grading goes in a certain direction. The water funnels out, but not all of that ends up in the city sewer system. Sometimes you build a basin to hold that water in, but it needs flow control boxes, which I am familiar with building, and they lay in the pipe. So we're currently looking at a contract for 40 of those boxes to pour the concrete for and finish for them.
Nice. How big are these boxes? Like,
It depends. So it's all engineered. So it comes with full plans. Some of them are only, 4 foot tall by, 4 foot wide. Other ones are, built monolithically on 4 caissons. And then as well are, 16 foot long, but then only 4 foot wide with a deck on top with a grate on it. So it's dependent on whatever the water flow engineer decides is best for the area. So they fluctuate.
Got it. Cool. So you've described, fencing, a little bit, it sounds like some landscaping in there, some concrete. Yep. You ever worry about trying to be too many things to too many people versus staying really specialized?
Correct. And so that's why I partnered with the company that I did. And we together are going to put together the crew to handle that contract, knock it out, and see how much, see if we got the wind knocked out of us, essentially, while maintaining both of our, full-time businesses where we are specialized. He specializes in strictly patios, and I specialized in strictly fencing and landscaping. But we have the knowledge and we have the know-how. And when the unfortunate part is when the economy goes to hell, the first thing to go is the housing market. The housing market is the first thing, it is one of the best and key indicators of how the market is working right now. So when suddenly things become too expensive through, hyperinflation, recession, things like that, guys like me lose work first because somebody's not wanting to put $10,000, $12,000, $20,000 into their backyard. They're more worried about their cost living and their goods that, they need to just sustain themselves. So dipping our toes into this commercial contract and trying it out lets us know and puts our name out there as a good buffer because commercial construction never stops. Commercial construction is funded by major, major real estate companies, land ownership companies, and even banks. So that construction doesn't stop. So it's nice to get your toe in somewhere, your foot in the door, at least. That way, if we were to ever lose work, we could pivot and have this as a fallback, or it works out perfectly. We build up this group, they handle it phenomenally, and then this company contracts us for another 40. And then that's just something that we manage together and continue because it didn't knock the wind out of us, like I said.
Cool. Cool. So it sounds like, while you both are maintaining your specialty, I don't know how low cost it is, but you're essentially doing a probe into a new marketplace. Like, okay, let's test the waters, let's dip our toes in, see what it feels like, and then reevaluate and decide from there.
Correct.
Awesome. What do you see as you look ahead to the coming year? What's your biggest challenge in your business or businesses?
The biggest challenge that we are likely going to face this year is, hey, I know what I'm trying to think of, but I'm trying to figure out how to articulate it. It's going to be more of the odds and ends now that we're, I'm expanding my territory in conjunction with the partnership of not spreading myself too thin. Having a crew working a job 50 miles away from my other crew is going to be pretty hard at times. And I'm going to have to really trust those guys, but I still need to put my feet. I need to put my boots on the ground out there to make sure it's something I want my name attached to. It's building, being built efficiently and proficiently. So that's it for me this year, really, is I'm not worried about the work. I'm not worried about the money or the, you know, sales. I'm moreover timid about what we take on and how we can cluster it together to make it more convenient and manageable. So I'm not having to sit in the truck all day running between sites and just hoping that they're doing everything right. And I can actually go and stop by three job sites and put my bags on and continue to help to build because everything's running efficiently.
Sure. So it's a kind of the logistics piece of it, right? Making sure the jobs are organized in such a way that they're in reasonable vicinity from each other at a given time.
Correct. Exactly. And that's really what it is. You know, being small scale for, you know, the last 3 years, it's pretty commonly been, you know, one or two jobs a week, sometimes three or four. And that's why I have those extra people on standby. But this year, the plan is to obviously really start pushing in on the throttle. Now, I'm not saying dropping it to the floor, you know, I'm not trying to hit the plate, but at the end of the day, beginning to really move out of the comfort zone and see, okay, where is the red line? And where's the line in the sand? And then once we hit that, where do we need to go? Do we need to add more teams? Do we need to pull back on the advertising? Do we need to increase our prices, become a little bit more niche again? And just really testing the waters this year with such a massive expansion. What I hope will be such a massive expansion.
Yeah. How will you recognize the red line on time?
So it's going to be pre-planning. It's going to be having every job hit the calendar the day that we sell it and making sure that those are the dates that we're arriving. Materials there, guys are there, work is getting completed, and we're not running over on our labor. As soon as, you know, even one job goes half a day over, it's time to pull back and go, okay, we don't need to like pull the emergency brake, but we need to look at what we're doing and see how do we prevent this from happening before it becomes a major problem. Because I know guys who subbed out and then subbed out and then subbed out and would just take on any job and then got loans on said jobs. Or I don't know exactly how they came up with the money. Maybe they took out a second mortgage. I'm not sure. But they had a lot of HVAC systems and units fronted to them. But then the work wasn't getting done. And suddenly guys were disappearing, but then guys were also asking to get paid, but work wasn't completed. And the entire operation just ended up, pardon my French, but tits up. And so it's going to be nipping it in the bud as soon as we see it. I don't care if we're 2 hours over labor. Why did that happen? Was it the team's fault or was it my fault? And at the end of the day, it's always going to be my fault, because that means even if the team went over on those 2 hours, what could I have done? Should I have been there? Should I have been building with them? Was there something that I didn't quote properly and catch in the decision-making process with the homeowner? So it's going to be full accountability at the end of the day. And then also, like I said, catching it the day it happens, even if it's one small metric over, because that small metric, it the cup will overflow.
Love that answer. Yeah. You're going to have your finger pretty on the pulse, right? Like exactly. What's going on today?
Correct.
So you've shared what you see as the challenge, and now knowing where the red line is, I'm also curious, what are you most excited for as you think about the year ahead? What gets you just jazzed?
It's definitely going to be how many people we can impact as we do grow. You know, that's more employees. More employees mean more families that are dependent on us as a company. That's going to be larger outreach to communities through things like, you know, philanthropy and giving back, getting a larger name so that more people will start taking notice and, you know, seeing what other people start to bring to us, you know, saying, hey, we loved what you did here. You know, maybe Lennar reaches out and says, how would you like to do the perimeter of this entire brand new, you know, 120 home development? And we go, that sounds fantastic, you know. So it's really going to be how many different people we can impact and simultaneously how big and noticeable we can become. The goal is to stop being a small fish in a big pond. And I think that with the trajectory and the plan laid in place for this year, just 2024, I think we will achieve really big things.
Cool. So as I've listened to you talk about having impact for your employees, doing philanthropy, you know, the servant leader comes to mind, or heart-based leadership. Am I sensing that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. So this year, I'm going to begin to implement a percentage program. Where a percentage, and we don't have the numbers dialed in yet because we're in slow season. We need to, like I said, we're doing an expansion. We don't want to take too much, but we also don't want to take too little. And so it's really seeing where the numbers start going in really this month. March is where things really start to tend to kick off crazy. So looking at what we're doing, looking at where the money's going, looking how much is left being left over and, you know, considered profit, and seeing what we can give back. Because, you know, I'm really big on men's mental health awareness in general, cancer. We do want to be giving to some form of a cancer research group. And then also, you know, possibly even, you know, organizing a nonprofit for people to get bee boxes is what I'm calling them. Set up in your backyard at little to no cost in addition with the project, with Colorado native grasses and flowers in, you know, maybe a corner of your yard that you don't see yourself doing anything with, that helps stimulate natural pollinator growth in Colorado and building those bee boxes and possibly turning that into some form of maybe not necessarily a nonprofit, but just something that, you know, little to no cost that we can take out of our profits and build on every site that we touch just to keep Colorado's, you know, ecosystem thriving as, you know, we're tearing out the grasslands and putting in new homes. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a, you know, I'm not a crazy green, but I also understand, you know, I grew up here and I can see how many more homes there are and how much less grassland there is. And that absolutely has an effect on the natural pollinators.
For sure. For sure. Love the mission. Very cool.
Thank you. It's the rough draft though. It's an idea on paper and we have a cost associated. That's it. So, I'm excited to see where that goes, by the end of the year and how many of those boxes we actually get to put in.
Yeah. Yep. So am I. And you mentioned it's a rough draft and I was thinking, man, Every day, life is a rough draft, right? And we just keep tweaking and trying to make it better.
Exactly. One day at a time. That's always been what I've said to people. It's just, you know, everything is, it's one day at a time. And sometimes if you can't take it one day at a time, you got to take it 1 minute at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that reminds me of what I saw on, again, on your Facebook. Tell me about Control Alt Delete.
Oh, control your feelings, alter your perception, delete your negativity.
Is that, yeah.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I haven't had it, you know, incredibly rough, but, you know, I was never handed anything. And, I also put myself, you know, in my teenage years, into some pretty rough situations with things like, you know, substance abuse and, you know, mismanagement of money and, trusting relationships with my family, taking advantage of those things. You know, I'm not ashamed of them, but I'm not proud that I did those things. And I, you know, I've obviously atoned for that now. But you know, a lot of it was acting irrationally and emotionally versus proactively and realizing the only thing that I could control in a lot of situations was my reaction. And so once I was able to dial in on those reins and really grip them tighter, I noticed an immense change, as well as with, my relationship with God. That is something that I talk to everybody about. I am not bashful in my faith in any kind of way. I was not faithful for a long time, but God stepped into the picture and really changed my life. And so I learned not only do I need to control my reactions, but also there are problems that I, as a man, cannot handle, and I just need to put them on the pedestal of God and trust that this tribulation is a blessing, one way or the other. And so that's really where that comes from.
Awesome. Awesome. So just to explain a little bit further for listeners. So, if you go to Logan Slagle's Facebook profile, his banner says control alt delete, and which then expands to control yourself, alter your thinking and delete negativity. And so Logan just unpacked that a bit for us. Thank you. So Logan, as we start to land the plane here, if you could leave our listeners with one important or impactful question that we should be asking ourselves, what would that be?
Something that I think every day is what I did today something that would make 15 or 16 year old me either in awe or proud? Because when I was a kid, man, I didn't think I had any future. I was very desolate. I was very depressed, riddled with anxiety. I didn't even, not to get dark, but a lot of days I didn't think I was going to ever make it to something like 28 years old. So now I go back to my younger self and, it's kind of in my head, you get to visualize you giving that kid a high five, like, hey, check out what we did. Look at this thing that we built. Look at how we impacted this family. Look at how happy these people are. Look at how much now we can bless our friends and our family with how hard we're working with what we're able to contribute to the plate now. And that's something that I reflect on a lot.
That's awesome, Logan. Awesome, awesome. And this conversation has been awesome. For folks that would want to get in touch with you, make a connection, learn more from you or about you, possibly need your help in Denver with some exterior stuff, what's the best way to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Facebook is definitely the easiest way. Just shooting me a direct message. I check them all the time because I have customers coming through my message request. So it's an inbox I pop into literally daily. Reaching out, I don't have like a Facebook page set up for the business or anything. Everything we do is word of mouth as of the moment. The marketing is standing to change in the next 90 days. We have already talked about that. But as of now, the quickest and easiest avenue is just going to be shooting me a direct message on Facebook. And it's just Logan Slagle, Slagle.
Awesome. Awesome. Logan, thank you so much for being on. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Todd. Thank you for having me. And, I hope my voice can make an impact somewhere on someone.
No, undoubtedly it will. So thank you again. And listeners, thank you for tuning in. Hey, just want to mention before I go today, we are being sponsored by Ardor Boutique. That's Ardor Boutique. Please support them to support us. You can go online and find them at www.ardorshop.com. I'm going to leave you with this. Until next time we get together, whatever grand vision you've been given, whatever big dream God has put on your heart, you can. Be bold, be humble, stay healthy, stay hopeful, live life strong. Peace to you.
Well, thank you so much for listening. For even more on turning trials into triumphs and seeking and embracing success, go to toddhalls.life. That's toddhalls.life. And I look forward to serving you. Until next time, be strong, be bold, be humble, stay healthy, stay hopeful. Peace to you.